First is the week in Washington, where we take a look at a few of the top stories in national politics. Judge Amy Coney Barrett is still on the fast track to be confirmed to join the Supreme Court. While there's mixed messaging from the president and Senate Majority Leader about whether coronavirus relief legislation could actually happen before Election Day. We'll also look ahead at tomorrow night's scheduled presidential debate. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Did you watch any of Judge Amy Coney Barrett's confirmation hearings? What did you think? Do you think she's right for the court? Do you approve of the Senate's timeline to get her confirmed quickly before the election? What do you think of the priority of the Senate confirmation of the Supreme Court nominee versus COVID economic relief? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Lisa Mascaro is chief congressional correspondent for the AP. Lisa, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the confirmation process here. You've been following that. I know what is happening tomorrow.
Yes, that's exactly right. Judge Amy Coney Barrett is on a sort of fast track for confirmation. They are set to have in the Senate tomorrow. The Senate Judiciary Committee will gavel in and basically take a vote and recommend sending her out to the full Senate for the eventual confirmation vote. So the senators on the Judiciary Committee, they heard from her last week in those back-to-back hearings. People might have, you know, followed some of that, watched a little bit of it on TV or seen the highlights. They sort of after that, those hearings come to a close. The senators on the panel, they sort of mull their options, and then they are they've got a week coming back on Thursday now to take that vote. And there's really no surprises expected here. Republicans have the majority on the panel. They also have, of course, the majority in the Senate. They are expected to get her out of the committee tomorrow and then onto the Senate floor by Friday. And the Senate leader, Senate Leader Mitch McConnell, has decided to go ahead and keep the senators here through the weekend as they run through the sort of procedural steps. You know, pretty much all Democrats can do is not make it easy for Republicans. They can sort of slow things down a little bit, but they cannot, under the sort of new Senate rules, stop this confirmation. And so senators are expected to be in town over the weekend, pushing through those steps, taking some procedural votes, and she should be on track for confirmation by late Monday afternoon, evening time. Could push into Tuesday if some of the Democratic stall tactics, you know, can stall it a little bit. They will. But we're talking Monday or Tuesday. She is expected to be confirmed and then could join the court.
What have Republicans said about the need to expedite this process, work through the weekend and try to have it done by early next week, just a week before Election Day?
Yeah, it is really stunning. You know, never in the history here of the U.S. has a Supreme Court nominee been confirmed so close to a presidential election. And, you know, folks might remember Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg died late last month, middle of last month. And President Trump was swift and wanted this nominee for a couple different reasons. The president has talked about the need to have a justice who would rule more favorably to Republicans in an upcoming challenge to the Affordable Care Act. You know, that's the Obama era healthcare law. Republicans have been trying to, you know, repeal and replace it for the past 10 years since it was approved. You know, they've been unable to sort of fully gut it in Congress, and they have a challenge now before the Supreme Court, which the Supreme Court is expected to hear the week after the election. So November 10th, the court is expected to take up a case challenging the Affordable Care Act. And the president has said he wants, you know, someone on the court that would rule the way Republicans want to get rid of that law. So that's one aspect. And then, of course, just the election itself. There's a lot of discussion about this election being sort of unlike any other. There's going to be so many, you know, mail-in ballots and you know, potentially close. And perhaps there could be challenges, legal challenges, Of course, the president has talked a lot about his concerns over mail-in ballots, though experts, you know, sort of say there's no trouble. Plenty of states do mail-in ballots. But in any case, the president has also talked about wanting to have a justice on the court who would, you know, be able to rule on any election challenges. So, you know, the court is 4-4 split right now. It would become a 6-3 majority conservative court. I shouldn't say 4-4 split. It's the 8-member court right now. But, you know, if she is confirmed, it would become tilted to a 6-3 conservative majority. And that's in favor of some of these issues for Republicans. So they are very eager. And the president is eager. And the Senate Republicans are also very eager because, you know, Senate Republicans have had a difficult time these last couple of years with the president because they're not always aligned on a lot of the legislative priorities. But the one thing they can all agree on is getting these conservative judges on the bench. And so Leader Mitch McConnell has really used the Senate to churn out just a number of judicial confirmations. They've confirmed something like more than 200 federal judges. And of course, now this would be the third Supreme Court judge under the Trump administration. It really is what the Senate in the Trump era has become known for. And so Republicans who are fighting to keep control of the Senate in November are really banking on this court confirmation vote to help give them a boost with voters and a boost, at the polls.
Talking to Lisa Mascaro, Chief Congressional Correspondent for the AP, looking at the top stories in national politics this week. Some of them you can join in at 800-642-1234. Your thoughts on the expedited confirmation process for Judge Amy Coney Barrett, nominee to the U.S. Supreme Court. Committee vote expected tomorrow, as we heard. Maybe a full Senate vote as soon as next Monday or Tuesday, a week before the election. What do you think about that? And what do you think about still deadlocked efforts to have COVID-19 economic relief? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's start talking about that stimulus package now. Where is that? There's a hang up, as you said, the Senate not always in line with the president. Senate Republicans aren't. This is one of those cases, right?
That is exactly right, Rob. You know, the president has become increasingly interested in securing a COVID deal. You know, they haven't passed a big package since that last one back in March. They've done some smaller packages. But, you know, the boost in unemployment has run out. There was never any money for the states and local governments. You know, that money has gone. So there's just a lot of, need out there in the country, as we see the number of COVID cases rise and potential hospitalizations, potential death toll during these fall and winter months. But, you know, half or so of the Republican majority in the Senate, I mean, we're talking, so they have a 53-seat majority, you know, 20 or so of those Republican senators just really are opposed to any further spending. People might remember, you know, these are a lot of senators that came in on those conservative waves of the past elections, you know, the Tea Party and some of these movements that, really tried to sort of scale back on the size and scope of government and government spending. They've spent a lot this year trying to help the country through the pandemic. Of course, it's an emergency like, you know, nothing other. But now they're kind of saying enough. And so this is the crossroads they're at. The president is eager to get a deal. He has tapped Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, who has been in sort of nonstop talks over the past several days with Speaker Pelosi. And, the Senate is a little bit on the sidelines here. If Speaker Pelosi and Secretary Mnuchin cut a deal and the president wants it, it's really going to put those Republican senators in a difficult spot. And Mitch McConnell, the leader, told the White House this. We know from reporting that the leader told his Republican senators yesterday at a closed door lunch that he let the president know, you know, this would divide the Senate, divide the Republicans. And it's not something that Leader McConnell wants to do. He told the president not something he wants to do before the election. So this will really be a sort of, I don't know, we're at a point now where the negotiations are kind of coming to a head. We'll see if they're able to get something. If the president signs on, it'll be a really difficult choice for Leader McConnell and his Republicans. Of course, Speaker Pelosi, you know, she has been really driving a hard bargain on this, right? You know, she kind of has a lot of cards because she has control of the House and she can bring her entire House Democrats. You know, they have the majority over there. She can bring the full weight of the House behind whatever deal she cuts. And they want a big, robust package that would just really help all sorts of Americans, housing, you know, food security, unemployment, you know, money for hospitals, money for schools, local governments. You know, we're talking like a $2 trillion plus package. You know, Republicans don't really want anything to do with that. But she's driving a hard bargain. She knows the president wants it. She knows she's got the votes in her pocket. So she does have a little bit of an upper hand on that. And, you know, we'll see if they can all get to an agreement or not. So Republicans say, well, she's just, you know, she doesn't really want a deal. She's just, you know, in these talks to make the president look bad. You know, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. We'll know here in a couple of days if they have something or not. And we're then we'll have to vote or not vote. Oh, sorry.
We're talking to Lisa Mascaro, Chief Congressional Correspondent for the AP. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions and thoughts do you have about the issues we've talked about so far? Do you think that Congress, the House, the Senate, and the White House should all get together on a new round of COVID-19 relief spending? If so, what do you want to see included? What do you not want to see? What do you think of the expedited effort to approve a Supreme Court nominee? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our talk with AP Chief Congressional Correspondent Lisa Mascaro. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think Congress should pass a new COVID-19 relief package? What do you think about the Supreme Court effort? And if the debate happens tomorrow night, as of now, it looks like it will, are you going to watch it? What are you watching for? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Mark is with us in New Berlin. Mark, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Say, I am very happy with the Supreme Court candidate. I sincerely hope, and it looks like she will be appointed and sworn in. Very happy. I've been totally disgusted for the last 3 years on the investigations, the impeachment, and all the shams that have been going through the Democratic Congress. I am fed up with it, and I didn't vote for Trump last time. I'm not really a fan. I do like some of the things he's done, putting America first. That hasn't been done for a long time by our government. That said, I'm not going to send them a Valentine's card this year either. So,
Mark, thanks a lot for the call. So, Mark, happy with the Supreme Court nominee. Generally, I think, Lisa, Republicans and surveys seem to suggest, at least some of them, a general slight majority support for going ahead with this confirmation.
Yes, that's right. Republicans were very thrilled over the last day or so to see some of the polling come back that now a slight majority, about 51% in some of the public polls. I don't think the AP has done a poll yet on this that I have at my fingertips, but, you know, showing some support for her. You know, it is something they can hang their hat on, and they feel those that support the judge, and it really is just the Republicans, because no Democrats are expected to vote for her, feel that she, you know, was able to be a good face forward during her hearings, was able to present herself as someone, you know, that Americans were okay with. You know, Democrats will say, look, you know, she hid behind a lot of her views, and she's been very publicly against abortion, very publicly against the Affordable Care Act. But when asked about those views and how she would rule, she, you know, did not answer and said, you know, she would have to take each case as it comes. Democrats aren't buying that. They say it's very clear where she stands, and she was just you know, being sort of diplomatic, as judges often do when they are in these confirmation hearings. They say it's, you know, not part of the judicial code to sort of weigh in until they see an actual case with actual litigants, you know, on a specific aspect of the law. So, you know, that's the divide. I don't know if those numbers will hold. I think Republicans are really counting on that. They're also really counting on, you know, like I said before, this is the one thing that they can sort of bring home to voters to show that they've done. And, you know, it would lock in a conservative majority on the court for years to come. And that's something a lot of Republican senators are really looking forward to hanging their hat on.
One issue I want to get back into with the Supreme Court, there were Republicans that kind of built up the expectation that Democrats would attack Judge Coney Barrett over religious views. Oh, actually, we've got a caller who wants to bring some of this up. Paul is with us in Slinger. Paul, hi.
Good afternoon. Yeah, I'm very fearful of this woman. She obviously is she's a modern day female pope, and she's going to impose a archaic dogma that women, the sovereignty of the female or the woman in this country is going to be lost. And it's very sad.
Paul, thanks a lot for the call. Now, Republicans are expecting to hear, I think, or at least building up that we would hear things like that from Democrats raising her Catholic background in particular. It seems like Democrats are really trying to scrupulously avoid saying anything like that. How did that all work out?
Yeah, they certainly did. You know, so there was a situation. So Judge Barrett, just to back up real quick, you know, she's been a federal judge for essentially a little over 2 years. She was appointed to the appellate court out there in Indiana in 2017. And during that hearing, before that, she was a law professor at Notre Dame. At that hearing, you know, she was asked by Senator Feinstein about her Catholic faith and being such a strong Catholic, you know, and knowing that Catholics have a strong view against abortion, you know, would that be a factor in her decision making? And, you know, the line of questioning was deemed by many to be sort of out of bounds, you know, that we don't have a religious test in this country. We don't test people on, you know, what your faith is before you can hold office. And Republicans were really coming strong at Democrats saying, oh, they're going to do this again. They're going to do this again. Well, Democrats did not. And in fact, we wrote a couple times during the course of the hearings last week that it was Republicans that ended up bringing up her faith more than ever, you know, really defending her faith and really bringing it into the conversation. At one point, Chairman Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, who's the chairman of that committee, said, you know, we have an unabashedly, now I'm not going to remember the full quote, but, you know, just a woman of faith, you know, being nominated. So they really sort of turned it around and celebrated it. And Democrats just didn't go there. They just tried to keep it on the law. And I think the whole thing ended up being maybe a little bit of a wash politically, but maybe served the Republicans well in the sense that they were able to, you know, show that a conservative woman of faith can rise to this level in, you know, in federal office. I think Lindsey Graham had called her, you know, a role model for other young conservative women.
Thanks for calling in, Paul. We're talking to Lisa Mascaro from the AP, looking at some of the top stories in national politics. Let's spend our last couple minutes previewing what's still expected to be a presidential debate tomorrow night. As far as we know right now, Lisa, it is still on.
As far as we know, right? I think this will be a really interesting debate. Of course, you know, again, you know, in the Senate, I not to focus so much on the Senate here, but, you know, in the Senate, Republican senators are just really fighting for their majority. They're at risk of losing it in large part because of the president's performance, both his debate performance and when he was tested positive for COVID, sort of a reminder of his handling of the pandemic. Internal polls for Republicans just tanked. And it was, you know, 3 weeks ago, they were just really watching the numbers plummet and really scared a lot of Republican senators that this really could be the end of the line for their majority. So, you know, I think there's always sort of a up and down in the polls and we'll see. But I think there's a lot of a lot riding on this debate, you know, not just for the president, Democrat Joe Biden as they go head to head and sort of try to win over the American public. But for these down ballot races, the control of the Senate and maybe to a lesser extent, you know, the control of the House isn't really in dispute. Democrats have a wide margin and are expected to keep control of the House. But, you know, the top of the ticket ripples all the way through these races. And so there's a lot riding on that debate tomorrow night.
And there will be some muting of microphones, I understand. How is that supposed to work?
Yeah, I'm not covering that myself, but I've seen my colleagues report there is an agreement, I guess, to mute the microphones for a couple minutes. So each person, each candidate, the president and Joe Biden, President Trump, Joe Biden can each give their response uninterrupted. And of course, we saw last time where President Trump was really talking over, former Vice President Biden quite a bit there, to the point where the vice president was like, you know, come on, man, or whatever that quote was that he said, you know, just stop talking. So, you know, I think the debate commission and the moderators don't want a repeat of that, don't want it just to be a slugfest. And so, American people should be able to hear what both folks have to say and make their own decisions. And I think that seems to be what they're aiming for and seems to be what the campaigns have agreed to.
Lisa, thanks again for joining us today.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
That's Lisa Mascaro, chief congressional correspondent for the AP. We talked to her for a weekly look at some of the top stories in national politics, including the latest on negotiations for further economic stimulus, tomorrow's scheduled presidential debate, and the hurried confirmation proceedings for Judge Amy Coney Barrett. We'll review the vote to bring Barrett's nomination to the full Senate tomorrow at 4 here on Central Time.